Historima. Listen to the extraordinary.
Κάποια στιγμή ήρθε μια απόφαση όλοι οι νέοι να απελευθερωθούν.
At some point, the decision arrived. All the young detainees would be released by the regime of the colonels. It was the best day ever. We got our things together, went across to Lackey. We found somewhere to leave our stuff, rented bikes, about 30 of us, and went for a ride around Leros. We sent telegrams to our families. I sent one to my family in Rizo, in Skidra. A telegram of just 3 words. I am free. I was born in Thessaloniki in 1947. But most of the time after that, my childhood, I spent in Skidra. From the age of around 8 or 10, I was really quite politically aware due to my family. In those days, there was the United Democratic Left Party, the EDA. My parents were communists and were in close contact with the EDA. From a very young age, I followed the election results. I used to read the Avyeen newspaper whenever my father brought it home. When I turned 18, I came to Thessaloniki and joined the Lambrakis Youth. I joined the Lambrakis Youth in Ambalokopi as soon as I arrived. It was a powerful youth organization. There was Yanis Chalkidis, who was later killed by the junta, Yanis Katsaros, who later became an MP of the Communist Party, and I took on the cultural part. We cleaned up some of the squares there ourselves. We would go at weekends and try to sort them out, because the state of Western Thessaloniki in those days was very basic. We were regularly persecuted by the police. Anywhere we gathered, there was always some policeman following us. There were arrests and clashes, a lot of that kind of thing, but that was just a sign of the times, and we were used to it. We had the recklessness of youth in those days, and we really didn't care. We had already been prepared by the Lambrakis Youth that there was talk of the impending dictatorship. On the 21st of April, I was working for the Express newspaper, and when I saw the tanks and army coming into the Vadariu area, Egnatia, and towards Tsimiski, I understood that from then on, I had to be careful where I went and should probably lay low for a while. We were members of Lambrakis Youth, and the police would be keeping an eye out for us. I went to the house of some relatives that were above suspicion in the Kassandros area. I slept there for one night, but on the second day they got scared. They basically said, if you can, you should leave, in a polite way. So on the third day I had to leave. I'd no idea where I would sleep. If I went back to my village, I would be arrested for sure. I had no choice but to go back to my house in Xirokrini. Within an hour of me getting there, the police arrived. They arrested me and my housemate and interrogated us. My housemate was a right-winger, and he burst into tears inside the police station. I was cooler. Comrades had warned me a long time ago that if you were arrested, this and that would happen. We were more or less prepared. In the second phase, they took my housemate, who they'd put in solitary, and questioned him separately. I didn't know. He told them some things about me, because I had a lot of books that I'd hid in some sawdust in our yard. We lived in a detached house. During the following interrogations, the police kept asking me where my books were. I didn't know that my housemate had already been released after telling them everything. Basically, he had snitched on me. They kept about 15 or 20 of us in a small cell for a week. They were all local mayors or councillors. I was the only young person. One particular man, a policeman whose face I will never forget, would beat me every day for 5 to 10 minutes, and then back I'd go to the holding cell. They wanted me to make a formal statement that I didn't belong to the left, that I regretted having joined the Lambrakis Youth Organization, and that I was now on the side of the nation-saving revolution of the 21st of April. All of this in the 9th police station of Thessaloniki in Santa Rosa Street, opposite the railway station. They brought me in every day, took me for questioning. The same story every time. Where are the books? Make a statement. I didn't. On the 7th or 8th day, they gave me a small paper to sign that said, "Yes, I've been arrested." They hadn't given me that paper at first. I now understand that, possibly because of my youth, they wanted to let me go once I'd done what they wanted, but I never made that compromise, and I was sent with the others to Yaros. On the way, we stopped to pick up some comrades from the police station in Vadariu. From there, they took us to the transport unit in Filipu Street. By chance, I met someone from my village there. He was there for other reasons. I said to him, "Let my parents know. Tell them Theodoros is inside." We had a lawyer with us. That poor man had been in and out of jail and in exile his whole life. When he'd got out of jail, he'd got married straight away, had a baby, a little girl, who came to say goodbye to him there. And the baby asked him, "What are you doing here, Dad? Why didn't you come home last night? Why don't you come?" It still gets to me. She must have been 2 or 3 years old. Anyway, the next day, we all left for Athens and boarded a boat. The Piraeus Syros line. There were some tourists on the boat, and they took pictures of us all wearing our handcuffs. After 2 or 3 days on Syros, they took us to Yaros. I quickly understood why so many prisoners, older prisoners, talked about this dry island. They actually called it Chersonisi, which means dry island. This was why it was uninhabited. There was no way you could live there. The island was also used for exile from the time of the Roman Empire. We got off onto the small jetty. There was a strong wind, a really powerful wind. Some Macedonian friends recognized me from way off and started shouting. But I was taken together with the Athenians, including Ritsos and other leading figures of the left, to the prison building. The Macedonians were in tents on the right side of the bay, which had been made specifically for camping. When I got up to the building, it was full of prisoners, and they had me living for 10 to 15 days with the Peloponnesians at the back of the building, with a family from Zacharo in the Peloponnese. There was the father, the son, and some of their relatives. When Yaros started to empty, as many prisoners signed the declaration and left, all of us lived in the prison building. Then it was the Athenians and the rest of us who'd been arrested 3 or 4 days after them. I understood why they did it, signed the declaration. I didn't blame them, depending on the reasons why they left. For example, at one point they took us youngsters somewhere separately. In the same tent there was a, how old would he have been, 50? Somewhere around there, who in his previous life had been in and out of jail. He was released from prison under Yorgos Papandreou, married and had a 10-month-old baby, something like that, and then bam, along comes the junta and they arrest him. So he signed the declaration with tears in his eyes and told me, "I'm leaving, not for me, I'm leaving for the baby." He had to go. We younger ones had another kind of conversation, because Aris Veloukhiotis had signed and then carried on the fight once he got out. When there were 3 or 4 of us together, we'd say, "Maybe it's not such a bad idea to sign and get out of here, to get organized and fight against the junta, because we're achieving nothing where we are now." We had these conversations, but somehow it didn't feel right. I mean, at that moment, we would be betraying the struggle. The others, who were older, 70 or 80, had been in the old prisons. Each one of them had spent 10 to 20 years in prison. They said, "Do you seriously think that I'm going to sign now that I'm old?" They never signed. These older ones had a saying, love your cell, eat your food, and read a lot, or something like that. Love your cell. In other words, you have to come down to earth and adapt to life in jail. There was a huge dormitory in Yaros for 100 to 150, I don't really remember, but about that many. There must have been around 100 of us. The mattresses were straw, we slept on the floor. Eat your food means to look after yourself. We cleaned the toilets really well. There were comrades cooking in the canteen. In fact, one of the cooks was Spiros Chalvatsis, who went on to become an MP for the Greek Communist Party. And read a lot. Most of us read, but even those who didn't know how to read found someone from their area, someone from Kefalonia or from Edessa, and discussed things they were interested in. Most of the young people read. In the letters we wrote to our relatives, we always asked them to send us books. We set up our own lending library, where you could go and borrow a book. Of course, left-leaning books were banned. They could see them. Everything was checked, even our correspondence, and many comrades wrote their letters in a conspiratorial way, I mean by hinting at things. There were women in Yaros, and there was a special space for women. We had Vaso Katraki, the engraver, who even gave me a stone with a flower engraved on it. I especially remember when they brought in the wife of Fotopoulos, Mimis Fotopoulos, the actor. I didn't know her. All at once, all the women from Athens came to hug her, and she began to tell us what Fotopoulos had said at the police station. When she asked for permission to call her husband, they let her call. He thought she had been released and said, "Are you free?" "No, I'm leaving for Yaros." Then they brought her to us. But she was really happy to find herself in our kind of environment. She laughed easily and had a great sense of humor. I saw famous people, people who I never thought I'd be able to meet up close, in the same space, such as Ritsos and others there, all the politicians. For me personally, they were demystified, because I'd always had a tendency to be skeptical, even though I was young. I understood that famous people are just like us, which is why we shouldn't underestimate ourselves. We should state our own opinion on a subject and not become a mouthpiece for someone who is considered famous or superior to us. Someone on Yaros who really influenced me was a lawyer from Thessaloniki, a Jew called Mossad. When someone burst into our dormitory one day, there on Yaros, and said, "From now on, I will be your dormitory chief," Adonis Mossad, the lawyer from Thessaloniki, replied, "When you go to the commander of the police here to represent us, you must say, 'I represent everyone except Adonis Mossad, because I'm here due to a dictatorship, because I am for democracy. We haven't voted for you, and since we haven't voted for you, I personally do not recognize you.'" At that time, I didn't have that kind of culture. I wasn't that sophisticated. I thought he was wrong. But after everything I went through, I understand how right he was, and that when you haven't elected someone, he can't represent you. We spent 2 or 3 months on Yaros, and then Leros. Somewhere around 15 months. They put us all on a big ship, those of us who were left, because most had made the declaration. There had been 6,000 to 7,000 prisoners. There were 2,000 of us left. Things were slightly better on Leros compared to Yaros, because we could see the village of Laki opposite. And we felt that there were other people nearby. We knew that behind it there was the well-known psychiatric hospital of Leros. Conditions were still miserable. There was a barbed wire fence around the area. We were still in a dormitory for around 150 people in bunk beds. In the bunk below me, there was a civil engineer from Athens. His name was Spiros Makris. He was a friend, a close friend, of Spiros Pantsas, the father of Pantsas the actor. So, because Spiros Pantsas would come to our bunk every day, I began to discuss things with him. He was a great intellectual. He wrote a lot of poetry, really good poetry, and sent them to a radio station in Moscow, and one of them won an award. He sent the poems under a pen name and got the first prize. I think the poem was called The Chrysanthemums. He would tell me that he had two weaknesses in his life, women and the Greek Communist Party. He spent most of his life in prison, in Aistratis and so on. He also told me that he had fallen in love with a girl on Aistratis, but the party forbade such things. He disagreed with the party, and they threw him out for it. Pantsas influenced me a lot ideologically, as did Makris, the old man who slept below me, both of them skeptics by nature. Along came the 21st of April 1968, and the Soviet ambassador celebrated the 21st of April with Papadopoulos. The damn Soviet ambassador. This seemed like betrayal to us. The Greek Communist Party wanted to gloss over this, and the news they sent us was that the Red Cross of Azerbaijan, which was a Soviet republic, had complained about our imprisonment. The anniversary of the 21st of April in 68 fell on Easter, and they wanted us to bring goats so that we could celebrate Easter. They brought the goats and all the rest of it, and we threw them in the bin. We threw away all the food we had. We all went on hunger strike. Thankfully, we all had a streak of resistance left in us. Despite this, there were those of us who were pressured by their families. One poor guy from Katerini, if I remember correctly, because he'd got a letter from his family when we were sleeping, he was in our dormitory at 2 or 3 in the morning, jumped out of the window and killed himself. Another, a friend of mine, a lawyer, was sent a letter by his girlfriend. "If you don't sign the declaration, I'm leaving you." So the poor man was forced to sign the declaration. He left in tears. Although he was a good leftist, this was a very dark point in his life. Meanwhile, when I was on Leros, we were summoned to go to court in Thessaloniki as defendants, because when we were in the Lambrakis Youth, we had set up illegal megaphones and made speeches which, they wrote, disturbed the peace and pleasure of the residents. So we went back to Thessaloniki. I expected to be found guilty and be sent to prison in Yedikule. However, unfortunately, I was found innocent and was sent back to Leros. There were some young people on the boat who had a transistor and were listening to music that I was hearing for the first time. When you're out of society for a year or so, things happen that you are unaware of. You don't see the changes. We also picked up some news. I later found out that someone had smuggled a radio in. He told the news to one of us, who told it to another, and he to another, and so on. And so I eventually got some news. Usually the news was good and gave us courage. We didn't know that the Greek people had somewhat come to terms with the junta, many of them. In Yaros, I'd met a journalist, Dimitris Palios, who wore a straw hat on which he wrote Mama Ritonero. Mama Ritonero means Mother, I will come home. Up until then, I'd never thought of learning Italian. When we went for a roll call, because they counted us every day like we were sheep, I asked him, "What does that mean?" And he said, "Mama Ritonero means Mother, I will come home." I liked that. What language is that? Italian. So our friend Dimitris gave us Italian lessons. I learned Italian in 2.5 months. And with the Italian I learned, in the following years, Italy was the first country to supply Greece with products, and I worked as an interpreter. And for 30 to 40 years, I was going to Italy as an interpreter because of the Italian I learned in Yaros. And when I went to Leros, I became a teacher of Italian. Me, at 19 or 20, had students of 75 to 80 years old. I went on to learn French, and then German, but I didn't finish learning German. At some point, the decision arrived. All the young detainees would be freed by the regime of the colonels. It was the best day ever. We got our things together, went across to Lackey, found somewhere to leave our things, rented bikes, about 30 of us, and went for a ride around Leros. We sent telegrams to our families. I sent one to my family in Rizo in Skidra, a telegram of just 3 words, "I am free." Freedom, freedom is the most precious thing we have. I was overwhelmed with joy. I missed my mother so much. I was struck by the love you feel when you miss your mother. I arrived in Skidra by train. My grandmother was waiting for me with a young communist who had lost his mother in the civil war. They took me to the village by car. There were about 50 of them, most of them women from my neighborhood, waiting for me. And okay, it was very emotional. But the most emotional thing of all was our dog, who I hadn't seen for 2 years, and you can't imagine how mad he went. That reception was unforgettable.
Historima. Listen to the Extraordinary. A collaboration between ERT Echo and Historima.org. Historima is supported by a founding grant from the Stavros Niarchos Foundation.